Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's November 6, 2012, election night. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Thanks to our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com. They bring the world of beer to you. Check out the Beer Cloud if you want to learn more about how to find your favorite beers. GreatBrewers.com. All right, we've got a special show tonight. We're talking about craft beer politics. Our first guest on air is Wynn Bassett from North Carolina. He's right now writing with All About Beer magazine. Wynn, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Pretty good. How about you?
So what's going on? What are craft beer politics? What do you think are some of the issues out there that breweries have to deal with in relation to politics and regulations and everything?
Well, I guess we'll start with at the federal level. The big thing right now, it's been pushed by the BA. Recently, I've been up to D.C. a couple of days before Sabre to help in their Capitol Hill climb. But the big thing right now is the federal excise tax and reducing that. It's the legislation is called the Small Brew Act, and right now the federal level per barrel is $7, and this piece of legislation would cut it in half down to $3.50, and it would save the small brewers a lot of money each year. And every single small brewer that I've spoken with has said that they would absolutely reinvest that money into their operations, whether that's buying more equipment, because, you know, as you know, most brewers are popping at the seams right now in terms of capacity, or hiring more employees and creating more jobs, or giving their existing employees benefits. And I'm sure the situation is the same as it is in North Carolina, around the country, is that most startup small breweries, their employees aren't salaried. They don't really have benefits. And so it'd be great to give some of these hardworking folks some more benefits and bring on some more jobs. So in terms of politics, the Federal Small Brew Act is on the minds of many brewers right now. I can speak a little bit about the state level, too. In North Carolina, at least, the state excise tax rate is higher on our agenda. North Carolina has the sixth highest state excise tax rate in the country, and saving these brewers even more money and allowing them to reinvest it would help the industry out as a whole.
Wow. So you think the trend is to support small breweries?
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's pretty great. So what else is going on besides that? You're down in North Carolina. I know people were voting today, so I don't want to get too into politics. But, you know, are anybody doing any special parties or any breweries trying to get the vote out or trying to encourage people to be more active in politics or anything?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just on via social media on Facebook and Twitter and even Instagram, I've seen several breweries post things about, you know, it doesn't matter who you're voting for today. What's important is getting out and voting and making your voice heard. Tonight, I know there's I went to Raleigh Times today, which is one of the great beer bars in Raleigh and good restaurants, and I had lunch there today with some folks, and they already had the decorations up for a viewing party tonight. And as you may recall, Raleigh Times was the bar that Obama stopped by in his first campaign for president and had a PBR there, and they've got a picture on the wall of him having a beer. But from what I've seen on social media and nationwide, small brewers definitely encouraging people to get out there and vote today.
All right. We're also another guest is here, Chris O'Leary. He writes in New York, his blog, Brew_York, Brew York. Welcome, Chris.
How's it going? And I've actually met Wynn before, so it's all coming full
circle.
Yeah,
hey, Chris.
How's it going?
Yeah. Chris, have you been down to North Carolina? Checked out any breweries down there?
You know, it's on my list. I've been down to the Outer Banks. Actually was down there in September and had some pretty good beer down there, mostly from other parts of North Carolina, but stopped by Outer Banks Brewing Station. Coincidentally, one of the guys there is helping out with opening a brew pub up here in Williamsburg, actually.
Very cool.
It's a small world out there, because I just struck up conversation with him, and he's like, oh, you're from Brooklyn. Oh, okay. So, yeah. But I was really impressed with the beer that comes out of North Carolina, and I definitely Wins told me great things about Asheville too, it's just blowing up. I mean,
so how about if we go, Wynn, give us a little local color. So we're out in Asheville. Let's say we're in Asheville tonight. Where would we go to check out, you know, a good time at a brew pub or a bar? Some of your favorite places.
Definitely. I mean, I don't want to choose favorites, but some of the ones that I usually hit, that'd be good to hit tonight. Probably be Thirsty Monk. It's one of my favorite beer bars in the country. Upstairs, it's local and American stuff, and downstairs, it's completely Belgian. And it's a really good vibe, a really good beer, and the people who work there are some of the best in the industry and some of the most knowledgeable, too. I would definitely hit Barley's Tap Room, too. Great pizza, great food, and a great local list. In terms of breweries, you can't go wrong with Wedge. They're down on the River Arts District, right across the river from where New Belgium is brewing their new facility. And the atmosphere out there is second to none, and their beer's fantastic, too.
Hey, Wynn, what's the buzz in Asheville now that, you know, we've seen New Belgium and Sierra Nevada and Oscar Blues, you know, further down the road but nearby, opening up there? Do they feel, you know, kind of protective of their local breweries, or are they happy to have these big guys come in?
They're happy to have them. Sierra Nevada actually flew a bunch of them out to beer camp a couple months ago, and I was fortunate to be able to go with them. And actually, after show tonight, I'm headed to a local bar. I'm getting to try my beer camp beer for the first time tonight, so that's exciting. But Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, and Oscar Blues have been nothing but cooperative and really, really, you know, nice to the area brewers and want to come into the community right and not just come in as, you know, the three big boys and take over. The Asheville beer community and North Carolina beer community whole is very welcoming to them. You know, we won't see them for quite a while. We'll definitely feel their presence and already have. But in terms of beer, you know, New Belgium says they're not going to start brewing until about 2015. Sierra Nevada about 2014. But Oscar Blues has said that they'll be brewing Dale's Pale Ale by the end of this year. So let's still hope that happens.
Wynn, do you feel like that the last 4 years with the current administration, do you think that it's been friendly to small breweries and the growth of small breweries?
Yes. I can't name anything directly that's happened, but I know in the past couple months, ever since, I guess a few months before Savor this year in D.C., the Federal Small Brew Act has gained a lot of steam. I helped bring one of our congressmen to Asheville and led him on some tours and some breweries and encouraged him to join the Small Brewers Caucus, and he eventually did. And I think North Carolina has as well over half of their members in the Small Brewers Caucus, and we have all but one of our federal legislators who supported the Federal Small Brew Act. So the past couple months, I think, in terms of beneficial legislation for brewers, has been positive.
And I think on the local level, I mean, you saw Bev Perdue was one of the big flag waivers for Sierra Nevada coming in. She was right there when they made the announcement, I think. So,
yeah. Absolutely, and she was also present during the New Belgium announcement. Unfortunately, there really wasn't a big event for the Oscar Blues announcement. You know, those guys like to do things different and kind of just came in and surprised everyone with the news that they were coming to Brevard. But yeah, you're right. The current governor was at both the Sierra Nevada and the New Belgium announcements in Nashville.
All right. Well, let's make a toast to North Carolina. Any predictions on the election? I don't want to get too political, but we actually have a full night of live election coverage tonight on Heritage Radio Network from 8 o'clock on. What do you think's going on down there? Which way is North Carolina going to go?
North Carolina has been a swing state the past couple years, and I think it's going to be a close one again this year. There's no telling which way it'll go, and I think, you know, we might end up with a situation where we have two different parties for, you know, one for governor, one for president. So who knows? North Carolina's got some whack, crazy politics, and it could go either way at this point.
Well, we're drinking. I'm drinking it right now. Firestone beer from California, the pale. Is it Pale 31 or something? It's really good. They have it on draft here at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we're recording. And we just opened up. We've got Steve Hindy coming on in a few from Brooklyn Brewery, the Brooklyn Bamboozle, which Chris is drinking. What do you think about that, Chris?
I love it. I actually, I've been meaning to crack open a bottle of this for a while, but it's cool because it's a great beer and it's for a great cause, too, because they brewed it in honor of the Brooklyn Academy of Music's anniversary. So I love their bottle fermented stuff. It's just phenomenal stuff. And
well, we'll have Steve Hindy on in the second segment. And when, you know, we got hit pretty hard up here in New York. I don't know how you guys handled the hurricane. Did it hit North Carolina?
We didn't get hit nearly or close to as badly as y'all did up there in New York and New Jersey. We got a lot of rain, a lot of wind, and the cold weather moved in all of a sudden. But for the most part, that was it. We didn't get really any damage or anything like that. Just a lot of cold weather, a lot of wet weather, too.
Yeah, it was pretty serious up here. A lot of places were closed. Later on in the show, Chris will give us an update on some of the benefits and special events going on to benefit Rockaway Reliefs and Sandy Relief. I'm going to put a plug in right now. We're doing an event on Thursday night in New York, Modern Beefsteak and Spirits. And it had been planned. There's a thing this week in New York called Meat Week NYC, and pretty much anything that's earned from that is going to go right to Rockaway's Relief, which is a part of New York that got hit hard. But, you know, usually I feel like North Carolina usually gets hit, but now we're talking about hurricane politics and, you know, we usually have a lot more guests and we have a lot more beer. And today we're all just kind of frazzled. Yeah. I mean, some of us, I'll tell you about beer stories from last week. One thing is I'm usually at my pub, Jimmy's Number 43, or at another Good Beer Seal bar. And I get to drink all kinds of things and drafts and specialty beers. But I hardly ever go to a package store or retail shop to get beer. And I'll tell you the beers that I drank last week. It was Monday, and the corner store had some Lagunitas Censored Copper Ale. And I bought a six-pack, and it got me through the night. I sat up listening to radio. I've been listening to radio on my transistor radio that I got. Listened to that Monday night during the storm. I had a couple of those beers. And the next night, I listened to more radio and sat up in the dark, and it was Lagunitas Censored Copper Ale that got me through. I don't know if you had a similar moment when you're down to one beer.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, we could get out. We didn't lose power or running water or anything like that, but it got really cold here. So I went with an old reliable of mine when the cold weather hits, and that's an Oscar Blues 1050. That's one of my favorite Imperial Stouts, and I had one in the refrigerator and kept me warm that night.
Hey, you always got to have your backup of beer. Chris, what did you lose power last week?
I did not lose. I was very, you know, it's so strange because, you know, here in this neighborhood, here in Bushwick, it was business as usual by Tuesday midday. You couldn't even tell that a hurricane hit or that you were without power 2 or 3 miles away and that entire neighborhoods were washed away 5 miles away. It's kind of strange, but I stocked up on Monday just in case, and I had a good like 24 beers that I bought on Monday just in case, and it was kind of like, let me just get the beers that I would want to have if the world was ending. It's like my apocalypse six pack, and it had a very wide variety from like a Narragansett Lager, an old reliable for me from being from Rhode Island, and stuff like I had a Bell's Two Hearted left over from my last trip out of town, so I drank that too. So
yeah, I didn't think about stocking up, especially not for beer. But next time I got to get like a cooler that won't lose power. Even at our pub, we did lose power and we were really worried about it. But it was cool enough in New York. It never went above 50, and we actually opened the doors to the outside. So at night, it was 40 to 50. We didn't lose any kegs of beer that we had in lines. We did have to pour off. And, you know, they say, 55 degrees is the limit. If it was any warmer, we would have lost a lot of beer.
Nature's refrigerator.
Yeah.
That's what we had this week.
So. But stocking up on beer, you know, you don't think about that too much. You always think, well, especially in New York, you can always go out and go to a bar. You can go to a store and get beer. And I never keep a stock of beer at home.
Oh, I think that a lot of New Yorkers' minds went to drinking right before the storm. I walked by the Trader Joe's on 14th Street on Sunday afternoon, and the line to get into Trader Joe's was pretty long, but the line to get into Trader Joe's wine shop was longer. So that's a sign of how New Yorkers prep for the storm.
So guys, there's a shop in New York called a Good Beer. It's a bottle shop where you can taste beers also. They said last year before Hurricane Irene, it was their busiest day.
And yeah.
I know, guys, if you weren't in the flood zones here, like Uptown, I know Lee, he owns the dive bars. He's a great guy. He gave us a lot of support last week. He said it was one of his busiest weeks ever. I know guys in Brooklyn were busy. And it's such a contrast because just a few miles away in places like downtown Manhattan, you know, we had galleries in Chelsea were flooded, Red Hook, Rockaway, people lost homes, Staten Island. Our friend, another plug, Ken Tirado, he owns Kilmeyer's on the south of Staten Island. They got hit really hard. He's organizing a special benefit if any of you are in town on November 18th. Go to Kilmeyer's in south of Staten Island. They really have to push hard to help people out. People lost lives. And you can go to goodbeersteel.com as well as, I know, BrewYorkNewYork.com is Chris's site. All these, you know, there'll be a lot more benefits coming up, and we'll talk more about that in the show. Wynn, anything else you want to say before we close out this segment?
No, I hope everybody has a good rest of the night watching election coverage and drinking some good beer.
You know, many of you, when you listen to this, it's a podcast or in your iTunes, you know, when you listen to this, you'll know who won the election. Right now, we don't. So we're going to keep talking about that. So we'll take a few minutes break and be back on Beer Sessions Radio.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're out here at Roberta's in Bushwick, and we're reflecting on the hurricane that just passed and the election night. I'm here with Chris O'Leary from Brew York, New York. Chris, so what's going on? There's a bunch of benefits and special events coming up this week in New York to benefit Sandy Relief.
Yeah, it's really been an outpouring of support that came about really quickly. I mean, in the immediate aftermath, just in the first few days, there was just fundraisers in terms of money and clothing drives and everything, you know, and the immediate reaction was you know, quick and very positive. And now, you know, we're really starting to see just exactly how bad the damage is, and you know, the support's continuing. It's really great. So we've got, you know, just places that are collecting donations. You know, a lot of it's, you know, cleanup stuff, shovels, brooms, bleach to clean mold from you know, flooded buildings, trash bags, cleaning supplies. I mean, these are the things that are really in need now. That, I mean, the city's even been saying that a lot of the clothing they have is sufficient for the most part. But it's really the cleaning supplies that will help, you know, get the Rockaways and Staten Island and Coney Island back on their feet. So places like Top Hops, one of their bartenders is actually from the Rockaways. So,
Top Hops, Lower East Side Manhattan, they're a bottle shop.
Yep, Brooklyn Tap House down in Bed-Stuy, they're collecting donations as well all week. Alewife Patrick up there, it's kind of funny, you know, he is taking trips down to Staten Island and the Rockaways at a time when his own business is still without power.
Long Island City.
You know, in Long Island City, you know, he's on day 8 without power, and he's got flooding to clean up too, but he's still opening his doors, you know, by candlelight and collecting donations and bringing them down. So, really great stuff. But some of the events coming up, if you're listening live, The Gate, Mission Dolores, The Diamond, and Radagast here in Williamsburg are all doing events tonight where a portion of their proceeds or tips are going to Hurricane Sandy victims. So it's really great to see that. Newberg Brewing Company up in Newburgh, New York is doing a great event tomorrow where they're donating a dollar from each of their beers. All the sales from a keg of the Brooklyn Brewmaster Reserve Fiat Lux. And they're also collecting donations of necessary supplies as well tomorrow night from 4 to 9 up in Newburgh. So, obviously seeing support from the Hudson Valley too. And obviously Blind Tiger, you know, has their Wednesday events all the time. They've turned this one into a fundraising event too, with proceeds going to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They've set up a Hurricane Sandy Relief Fund, so they're turning their Avery night into a fundraiser, and that's what we're seeing a lot of too. You know, the Gate's doing that all week. The Brooklyn Beer Summit is this week, especially down the bars down in Park Slope, and they're really turning things around quickly to turn those events into events that benefit the community.
Well, let's give a shout out to closer home. We've got a bunch of Brooklyn restaurants that run the Rockaway concessions in the summer. The Brooklyn Kitchen, Caracas, Rockaway Tacos, Roberta's, they run Rippers. Those guys have been out there cooking up food. And Harriet at Brooklyn Kitchen's been shuttling trucks out. They did a great event last night at Brooklyn Brewery. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Brewery turned over there.
Yep.
Their launch for their new beer. What's the name of the new beer from Brooklyn Brewery?
There Will Be Black.
There Will Be Black, which fits in with the blackout.
Yep. By pure coincidence too. I mean, but it was great last night. I mean, they had a regularly scheduled event for their release of their new beer, and they just said, hey, you know what? Everyone bring down donations, you know, food, clothing, supplies, and a cash donation is good too. And they're really, I mean, I walked in a little late and with my peanut butter and my tuna to drop off, which was, one of their top needs right now. And they had really, like, there were piles upon piles of donated items, which is, really great.
Well, that's important. That's an important part of what pub owners and bar owners and restaurant owners can do, is they fill that gap before the government is able to step in and Red Cross. They're providing immediate cash assistance. They're cooking food. It's amazing, especially this group, the Brooklyn Kitchen, Roberta's, Chris and Harry and those guys. Really hats off to you guys. And again, Thursday, go to meetweeknyc.com. Our party that we're doing with Time Out, all the proceeds are being donated to the Rockaways Relief. We're going to give the money directly to the Rockaway LLC group. You can find out more. I think you go to thebrooklynkitchen.com. It's probably one of the most up-to-date sites about Rockaways Relief. And in terms of local breweries and things, so we know that Barrier out in Oceanside, Long Island, right near Long Beach, got hit pretty hard.
Yeah, Barrier took a hit. Six Points Red Hook facility took a hit pretty bad, too. Both of them have already met with FEMA. They're trying to get back on their feet as quickly as possible, but it's especially tough for Barrier because they just moved into a new facility, earlier this year, and to see that get, almost completely destroyed by the storm is just it's heartbreaking. These are two guys who are, I say they're some of the hardest working guys in beer in the New York area, and to have this happen to them, it just plain sucks. But they had a little bit of beer on hand that was able to survive the storm, so they'll be coming into the market. And that's the best thing I can say is, like, if you want to support these businesses that got hurt, these breweries that got hurt drink their beer, you know?
Yeah.
So at least there's some beer left to go around.
And farther out in Long Island, is any Greenport Harbor, how are they doing?
Yeah, they told me they're doing fine, which was surprising. I was kind of panicked about that because they're so far out on the island, but they weathered the storm okay. Over in Jersey, Carton Brewing weathered the storm okay too. So, in fact, they've opened their – it's great to see some of the breweries are doing this now. They're opening their facilities as warming stations, you know, for people who don't have power to plug in their devices. A couple of breweries out on Long Island are doing that too. Great South
How's
Bay's
that Cane,
supplies.
Cane Brewing doing in Monmouth County? Have you heard from that?
I haven't heard from them, to be honest. And I thought I had seen an update that they were okay, but – but yeah, I think the two that I've heard that really took on some damage were Barrier and Six Point. And then Jeremy Cowan's little facility down on Coney Island got completely destroyed.
So the world's smallest brewery.
The world's smallest brewery. You know, it's a fully licensed brewery down on Coney Island doing 1 gallon batches. They were just, you know, devastated. I saw a picture of the interior and it's just it's in ruins right now. So yeah, I mean, these guys, this is their livelihood too. So it's really hard to see it like that, and a lot of the bars too. You know, I mean, one of the biggest things that I said on Friday when the power came back on in the East Village was, go to your bars, go to your restaurants, tip your bartenders. You know, tip them significantly too, because, you know, these businesses, you know, like yours, you know, saw a few days with you know, they took a hit. You know, they saw a few days without business, and you know, the best way to get them bounce back is to patronize them as much as you can over the next, you know, couple of weeks, especially, you know, because you know, you want to bounce back quickly.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been out to some of these places like Six Point and Red Hook. You know, their Fairway right there in Red Hook got hit really hard.
Yeah.
You know, forget how close places in New York are to the sea. You know, you grow up thinking that a beach town might get hit, a barrier reef might get hit, but to think about places in Brooklyn and you know, Manhattan, you know, I don't think anyone ever expected that.
Yeah, I mean, Alphabet City Beer Company over on Avenue C, they got some water inside too, you know, and lost you know, quite a bit of their stuff, and you know, they're looking for donations too to just, you know, to bounce back quickly, because you know, those, you know, to sort out, you know, all the insurance stuff is great, you know, like it'll happen eventually, but in the meantime, you
know what, one idea we came up with is, you know, you can definitely patronize places, but you know, another thing is if you're not in the affected area and you want to help out, pretty much all these bars, restaurants can sell you gift certificates. We've been doing that at Jimmy's Number 43. You know, we've put out word that would really help us. You can give a holiday gift, and I would contact your favorite downtown, or you know, a Red Hook, or you know, any area that got hit, favorite restaurant or bar, and say you'd like to get some gift certificates and give them out to your friends for the holiday. Yeah. It is
if
a way
you have
to,
friends in New York, or if you're planning to come to New York soon, it's really a great way to do it, and you know, you know that, you know, it helps them in the immediacy, which is really important right now.
Well, one thing you can tell, that just the energy in the city, it seems quiet. You know, transit's been disrupted. But even on your site, at your site, Brew York New York, and you go at @brew_York,
yep.
It's a new improvement. I love you.
It's
you know, you usually have your daily posts with specials and happy hour deals. And you know, there's not that much happening this week.
Well, I mean, there's a few things here and there, and I'm trying to communicate them over Twitter. But I think what is most important right now is helping the people who were affected by the storm. And I think that like that really is a top priority for even my site. You know, I feel like, you know, beer stuff can take a backseat right now to really helping those who are affected by the storm, or you know, just miles away. You know, it's kind of, you almost kind of feel a pang of guilt when you're sitting at a bar drinking a beer, knowing that you could be doing something more.
I'm going to give shout outs to all the guys that reach out to me, because we were down last week at Jimmy's Number 43. Even Ryan Barker, he's the manager at Adobe Blues in Staten Island. He was in the part of Staten Island that didn't really get hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he, first question the other day was, he asked me how I was doing. Lee Seinfeld from the dive bars, he reached out and offered some support. Ed from Muggs. Last week it was Muggs in Williamsburg was my office. Thursday, Friday, I went in there. I was having beers, charging my phone, working from his bar.
I know, Jimmy in Williamsburg. I couldn't believe it. I saw about you on Thursday. Bars.
I stayed in Prospect. I went to Vanderbilt Bar in Prospect Heights with John Taggart, who's got a great show with Rachel Wharton on Thursdays here.
Saw you at Brooklyn Beer Merchants on Thursday night,
Brooklyn
too.
Beer, that was good.
Wandering Star.
I'd never been there. So it's Brooklyn Beer Merchants in... It's in right
Williamsburg.
Off of
it's on Grand Street and Bedford Avenue. I actually do trivia there the first Wednesday of the month. So tomorrow night I'll be hosting trivia night there.
That's a great place, and that's a great model. But and also Mike, he's one of the Mike Wiley owns Bar Great Harry and Mission Dolores, and the new bar, the Owl, is it
the Owl Farm?
The Owl Farm. Yep. He also reached out, offered a what are they called? The electric generators.
Oh, the generator.
Offered a generator. You know, a lot of guys really reached out. There's a lot of community. I can only say that we're really proud to be part of a great community of good beer seal bars and the craft beer scene in New York, and everyone sticking together. And
I've always been of the belief that beer people are good people. And this really just the outpouring is.
But if you're out there, you want to come to New York. I would say come to New York this winter,
please,
and patronize everybody. I think there's also another site. It's #DineOutNYC. A lot of restaurant and restaurant PR people are going to get behind that. So everyone's trying to help out in all the ways you can. And, you know, it's amazing what people are doing. Hey, we're going to take another short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
You're listening to Without You. I'm Pamela Royal on Beer Sessions Radio. Broadcasting. Network.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. We're here with Chris O'Leary from Brew York, New York, and we're talking about Sandy relief. You know, the hurricane's over. We're also talking about election night politics. So we talked to Wynn Bassett earlier from North Carolina, and now we're going to talk a little about New York State politics related to craft beer.
Yeah, it's been a really great year for craft beer politics, and I think what it really showed is that I firmly believe this, that beer is bipartisan, and we saw an overwhelming amount of support for the small brewers of the state who were impacted by some changes in state policy. By the state liquor authority, a lot of legislators jumped into action along with the New York State Brewers Association and some great key players in the New York State beer scene.
So let's step back. So
yeah.
Wynn mentioned that nationally there is this movement to roll back some of the excise taxes on small breweries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had something that happened in New York. The excise there was what taxes were going to be raised on small breweries? Was that excise?
They were excise taxes, but it was also label registration fees. So for people who don't know what that is, basically every beer that is sold in New York State, in addition to being approved by the federal government, has to be approved by the state government as well. And there's a fee that was charged for all beers. It was waived for New York State brewers until this year, and then the rule change went into effect. And essentially, every time a new beer is created by a brewery, they have to pay this fee. So now that has been, thanks to the legislation that was passed at the end of the legislative session back in June, small batches of beer don't have to pay that fee. So I believe it's 1,500 barrels or less sold in New York State doesn't have to pay that fee, which, I mean, the biggest example of someone who was affected by that was Barrier. Barrier's making very small batches of beer, and they're making 40 different beers a year. So, you know, they were going to see fees in the thousands of dollars because of this rule change. And, you know, that happened in April, and by June we had legislation passed, which really shows how much the state government is willing to go on a limb for the craft brewing industry here.
I'll tell you this: with cigarettes is targeted now as a revenue generator, but at some point, you know, people jump ship and they don't want to pay the taxes. Well, for us, with craft beer, it's more than, it's not like a hard liquor. It's not a high margin item.
Right.
It's something that's a beverage that's loved by many people over thousands of years, and it's, for us, it's a staple of life. It's kind of like milk in some ways. It is. It gets you through the hard times.
I have more beer than milk in my refrigerator.
You can drink milk when your water's out from a hurricane.
That's true.
So at some point, yeah, you know, raising taxes on the small brewers and then passing that on to the bars and the retail shops and to the consumer, that's really not the answer.
Yeah, I think, though, that in the back of the minds of the legislators who supported this, and the vast majority did, I think the reasoning was more to support small business. I mean, we have over 100 craft breweries in New York State now, which is kind of incredible considering, you know, that number was under 60 just a couple of years ago. So there's been huge growth, and they want these businesses to succeed, because when they succeed, they hire more people. You know, it boosts the economy. It brings tourists out. You know, one of the big things, there was a beer, wine, and spirit summit a couple weeks ago that Governor Cuomo held up in Albany, and as part of it, he addressed the fact that there's a need for a way for the state to support beer tourism. I mean, beer, wine, and spirits tourism. You know, there's a wine trail. There's one beverage trail up near Cooperstown. There's a Cooperstown beverage trail, so you can hit up cideries, wineries, and breweries all at once. But the state's recognizing that is a tourist draw. So the more breweries we have, the more, you know, it's the same way that I want to go down to Asheville, because I've heard Asheville's beer scene is so great. You know, wouldn't it be great to be able to say that about New York or Long Island or someplace else in New York State? So, I think it's much more about the economy than it is about, wanting to just lower taxes. I think it's really about spurring growth for these businesses that employ, you know, a lot of people in this state. And they don't just employ, it's not just the people that they employ, it's, you know, the businesses that they help support. So, you've got the Farm Brewers Bill that passed this year. So you want to see, you know, the beer industry supporting the agriculture industry in this state. So, you know, you've got, the hop growers in the state there's a big effort by the Cornell Cooperative Extension upstate to really get the hop industry growing so that they can provide enough hops so that some of these brewers can qualify for this Farm Brewers Bill, because they have to source a certain percentage of their ingredients from New York State.
You know, I have actually a farm brewer that delivers to us at Jimmy's number 43.
Tundra, right?
Tundra, yeah. They're the only, you know, in New York, there's farmers markets, and there's some small breweries like Chatham, which I know is sold directly at some farmers markets in the Hudson Valley. They're probably in Chatham, New York, I figured.
I think so.
And they had some really good stuff, but in New York City, the highest standard of markets is the green market system.
Yeah.
And they've raised all their standards for everything from who's selling bread to baked goods and cider making. And they've allowed only one brewery to sell, and it's Tundra, because they're a farmer and they grow half of their own grain and half of their own hops. And it's not bad. Like, it's pretty good. Like, it's like a good home brew. It's a good, simple craft beer, and he keeps making more beers, and I think they're getting better.
Yeah.
And, I'm always proud to serve it, and I'm proud to support them.
Yeah.
But it's really the future. I think you're right. You know, people, more small breweries growing or working with small hop growers and barley and grain. We're seeing that happening.
Yeah.
You know, there's just not enough of it. There's not enough grain being grown.
Well, yeah.
There's not enough malting facilities.
Exactly. Like Valley Malt, like, couldn't produce enough in a year to support.
So in the Northeast, there's only one.
Yeah.
There's one malt facility, Valley Malt in Western Mass. Yeah. It's just like a local business. Yeah. So we need malt facilities. I was part of the setting on the Small Hop Growers Alliance last summer in Cooperstown. I know that just to get a decent machine that can harvest your hops is about $30,000. So mm-hmm. so they need to have a bunch of those so that some farmers can share that. You know, that's small infrastructure compared to, you know, putting in fracking, you know, equipment or putting in roads. I mean, with a little bit of infrastructure, you can really build on craft beer.
Yeah.
We're kind of going in circles because, you know, we had this storm. Our great guest, Steve Hindy from Brooklyn Brewery, he hasn't been able to make it. The subways in New York are all screwed up. You can't take the L train. And Chris had to take. How many trains did you have to take to get here, Chris?
I had to take three. I mean, I guess I can't complain too much, but I feel a little cut off because in one breath I was just saying, oh, you know, support the bars down in the East Village, and I'm like, I can't even get to the East Village. it's been really rough. The mobility issue is something that it's been tough, but you know what, I can't complain that much because I'm grateful that I have power, I have a home, I have heat, I have hot water. You know, there are a lot of people who are just not as lucky in this area right now, to complain about, you know, cramming myself into a subway train is the least of the city's worries right now.
Well, let's end on an up note. Let's talk about all the good beers we've had this year so far in 2012. This is a really great one. The Brooklyn Bamboozle, they made it. Brooklyn makes a lot of special beers, and they made this to celebrate the BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music anniversary.
They've got a lot of, by the way, just a tease, but. And I was hoping to confront Steve Hindy about this because he probably knows. But Brooklyn Brewery's anniversary is, you know, 25th anniversary is coming up. So they're planning to brew some special beers for that too, which are very exciting.
And I'll tell you about some of the beer events that I had scheduled that got canceled because of the hurricane. Last week we had our fifth annual Fancy Dutch Beer Week, and we worked with Shelton Brothers. And you know, there's not that many exported craft beers from Holland, and most people don't think of Holland as craft beer. What are the brands from Holland anyway? There's Heineken, you know, and there's a couple
the
others.
Right, the
Grolsch, but there's a couple. There's Christoffel. He was from the Brand family. They were one of the bigger brewers, and he's been making craft beer for 20 years. He's in the Michael Jackson books. Mm-hmm. And there's De Molen,
mm-hmm.
and there's La Trappe, which is the Dutch Trappist brewery. And we would have had a bunch of those lined up, but everything got stopped, and we didn't get deliveries, and we weren't open.
Yeah.
But that was what we missed, Fancy Dutch Beer Week. And tonight we were actually going to do at Jimmy's Number 43 for our Tuesday tasting, Southern Hemisphere night, and we had lined up a whole bunch of Yeasty Boys beers.
Oh.
And the good part is that we actually got three different kegs of Yeasty Boys in. I have to figure out what they are. But this Thursday, we will crack one of the Yeasty Boy kegs.
Oh, cool.
So you want to try
tap?
Yeah, you want to try some New Zealand beers, something interesting.
That's great.
Any beers you've come across that you really liked?
I actually probably had the best, like, several consecutive beers I've ever had this past weekend. I went out to California over the weekend. I went to Drake's Brewing in San Leandro, California, and they just brew some killer beer. And you know, they're not very well known outside of the Bay Area because they really don't leave the Bay Area, but they've been around since 1989. So they're very talented. But I went over to their barrel house. They had some Merlot barrel-aged beers, including one cleverly named How Merlot Can You Go? I'm a sucker for a good beer pun. They're 1500 Pale Ale, just a straight-up American Pale Ale, probably one of my favorite American Pale Ales. Their Denogonizer, their double IPA, and I'm not a hophead by any stretch of the imagination, but man, the way they brew their hoppy beers, it just, you know, knocks me off my feet, both literally and figuratively with the 9-10% that some of these double IPAs are. So,
well, you know, you're making my mouth water. You know, tell you, being holed up in the hurricane and not being able to get out for a couple of days, I was craving beer. My mouth was getting dry, and Saturday I went on a bender.
Bender.
I would just went nuts on Barrier. I have 3 or 4 kegs of Barrier, and it was for my last delivery before the storm. And I had them on, and I was drinking them all night. They make such good beer, and I'm so sad that they'll be down. But you know what? They'll be back. They will be shipping beer too. So you'll see Barrier around for the next couple of weeks in some of the select good beer seal and other good beer bars. We're going to miss them, and we're rooting for them. I don't know really what to do for them. I think that they need your support. And if you want to email us, jimmypotsandpans@gmail.com, we can put you in touch with Barrier. I think if anyone in the region, they probably got hit. And I am wondering about Kane Brewing in Monmouth. Our friends at New Jersey craftbeer.com, they probably know about it too. Maybe you can check at that, Chris, before we go. it was an intense week in New York. And like I said, I feel as silly sitting here because we're at Roberta's in Bushwick. We're having beer. We're about to have some great pizzas. Jimmy's number 43 is open. And you just cheers to everybody. Cheers to everyone who's been supportive, okay? Yeah. So we're going to sign out now. I think that we had a good show. And stick around. There will be a live election night show tonight on Heritage Radio Network. I'll be on a little later talking to some guests, beer guests from around the country. And again, check out – I'm pushing this one. November 18th, take the trip to South Staten Island. Go to Kilmeyer's. Ken Tirado's doing a big benefit for Staten Island, people that suffered, and they're still suffering. And
Ken's such a great guy, and the devastation we've seen on Staten Island, they really need.
And check out go to the BrooklynKitchen.com. They're doing urgent, their own efforts helping out people in the Rockaways. And those are the two things I'd recommend. And also go to GoodBrewSteel.com and BrewYorkNewYork.com to keep up with beer and. Sandy relief.
And if you happen to be a bar owner or a brewery or anyone listening who's doing any Sandy relief effort, please let me know. I just want to include everything I can on my site. And there's so much going on in the aftermath of the storm. Some people's communication. But
let's raise our glass to the people in New York and New Jersey, and everyone's hopefully be back on their feet soon. And I'd like to thank our sponsors at GreatBrewers.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight.
And Kane's okay.
Great, that's great. So Kane Brewing in Monmouth, that's excellent news. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal. You can check us out at Twitter at @beer_sessions. And always, of course, follow @heritage_radio. Radio is back, Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to Wynn, Chris, and myself, Jimmy. And sorry we didn't get Steve Hindi. We're here on a Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, and our engineer, Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.